Is the church under attack? How can we tell?
House of God or Demon Daycare? You decide.
This week on
From the Clay to Christ.
We hope everyone had a good week. It's been very cold, and we did get a little bit of snow. Been fighting the fire, not wanting to stay going. Kind of like me, but we're making it.
This Sunday is the first day that I've actually been out of the house. Since Sunday. And thankfully I've been off work the past couple of days, so I can stay home to make sure it's heating, faucets dripping, blah, blah, blah. So making it just fine, but looking forward to warming up to, I think last time I looked at it was 37.
Yeah.
So that's, woohoo!
Yeah.
But I don't like extreme temps, but I'll still take this over 100-plus degree heat and humidity any day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, all you got to do is make sure all your skin's covered when you go out and you're good to go.
Right. That's why I love this time of year, because your skin's covered.
Yes.
Everybody's skin is covered. Well, technically.
Hopefully.
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah. But we're just going to get right into it because we got a lot to mm-hmm. cover. So both of us have come across this book called The Plan. Mm-hmm. And the author's name is George McVeigh. And he was once involved in the occult and came out of that occult. And this book is exposing the plan that the occult had or has to tear down the church. So we're going to cover things that he's brought up out of this book over the next, hopefully we can get it covered in 2 or 3 weeks, but.
Yeah, I think so. There's just so many, there's a lot of books that I've picked up that it seems like it's just weaving.
Yes.
It's the same message, but you know, it's something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, we don't want to brush over it too quickly because it's definitely something that is incredibly important to see what the enemy is trying to do,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately has been successful in some areas in accomplishing. And basically what we're talking about is just infiltrating the church and tearing it down and the people in it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about for a little bit.
Yeah. And some may wonder why we're talking about spiritual warfare and the demonic. After all, God is more powerful and there's more angels than demons, right?
Yeah.
True, but God also warns against lack of knowledge in Hosea 4:6. You can go back and read that. Even the strongest of nations doesn't just go in and blindly fight the enemy. They study to see how the enemy operates and therefore how to defeat. And if you want to put it in our terms, the Chrissy and Jesse terms.
That's right.
Just because you own a gun doesn't mean you know how to use it properly.
That's right.
So if someone's intent is to harm you, they're going to be able to tell whether you're confident in using that gun or you're not, and they're going to act accordingly. So in the same way, the enemy knows if we're confidently equipped with spiritual weapons or if we're waffling. So weapons are useless unless you know how to operate them. And knowledge is a weapon.
Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, we talk about it in the concealed carry classes a lot, too. It's not, as a matter of fact, can you or will you, but sometimes it's just pulling the bluff. But it's really important that we're able to carry ourselves in such a way. And in Ephesians 6:10 through 18, and this is something we may cover after this to mm-hmm. kind of go into a little bit more in depth, but it covers the armor and the weapons of the spiritual warfare. In verse 10 through 11, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole, all of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And wiles there means cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery that lie in wait. And I think over a span of time, we have seen the church become less and less effective, unfortunately, to the point that the enemy isn't afraid for them to grab their Bibles. Mm-hmm. If we don't understand the importance of the Bible, then so what if we pick it up?
Yeah, if you're not going to use it.
They grab their Bibles. Satan's not afraid of it. They don't know what the power of that word contains, or worship, because it is some watered-down formula. A lot of people, this is how you worship. Put your hands in there.
Sway back and forth.
Sway back and forth.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. That's not worship.
No.
Worship is a real heartfelt, meaningful moment between you and God, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like we brought up, I think last week, worship, the worshipers went out before the battle.
Right.
And then prayer, because either people don't, or it's just a bunch of words that makes the person feel better. But we have to come to a place of realization that we are in an actual battle, and in wars and battles, the enemy will send spies behind the lines to try and infiltrate and weaken its opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Satan want to do this? So if he can keep the church beat down and the people separated, he will win. Remember, a house divided against itself will fall. That's in Luke 11:17.
Right.
And we have to be aware of his schemes that come against this, not in a physical battle, but a spiritual one. And I would say that as a church, we have to see ourselves as a family and help each other, watch out for each other, and not have this mentality of every man or woman for themselves.
Yes.
Allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be all nosy and up in each other's business. I know some people, that's what prayer is.
Gossip circle.
It's a gossip circle.
Yeah.
Like, no. So I have a trusted circle of people that I will bring prayer requests to, because I know it's not a gossip session for them.
Right.
It is, these are the people I can go to when I need help in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they'll do it.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit will show you something about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and also lead you to what to do, whether it be to give them a hug, pray for them, by going up to them or praying with them, or you're in your own closet at home praying for them.
Right.
Sometimes you don't have to have that display. You just see something that, and it's not necessarily you walk up to him and be like, man, you look like crap today.
Yeah.
Unless that's what God led you to do.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be right in the middle of the mess.
No.
To pray for that person.
Or just walking up and saying, hello, glad to see you today. How's it going?
Yeah. And even that goes a long way.
Yeah. And then, like you said there, in, about being in the middle of the mess, a lot of times we don't need to be in the middle of it with them.
Right.
Because the most effective place for us to be is on the outside looking in and seeing, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
get out of God's way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the sniper.
Yeah. Right. And that's one of the many reasons why regular church attendance is important. And you're probably going to hear me harping on that a lot. Just because, I mean, I know there are things that come up where a person may miss a service here and there. I get it. You know, I've had things happen. But church needs to be a priority for every Christian. I mean, there should be no exceptions to that. Ephesians, 5:22-33 describes the church as the bride of Christ, and that's who he's coming back for.
Right.
As his bride. So an excerpt that kind of goes along with the plan, and it's another book I'm reading called The Warrior Bride by Jeremiah Johnson. And he has in there, Sunday service isn't about any one person as an individual. In other words, it's not about you.
Right.
It's not about me. You know, it's not this, I'm here for myself and
yeah,
serve me. It was never meant to entertain or bore or to be convenient or an inconvenience to your busy schedule. Church is a place where people should be able to focus entirely on Jesus and worship his majesty. Church attendance should serve as a weekly reminder and really as a testimony that no matter what's going on in our lives, our environment, our nation, or the world, we acknowledge God's authority and he reigns over all, not some, but all, in this can't afford to be compromised by anybody or anything.
Yes. And so I want to be clear for everybody that not everybody is out to destroy the church. That's not where we're getting at here. But we can't be sleeping, especially after becoming knowledgeable of the very real possibility the enemy is sending implants. So the first step from the plan, this is, we're going to get into the book here. The first step in the plan, and the scripture reference to keep in mind is Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. So step one is to become a member of the congregation. Now this is a plan that the occult has put together. So this is step one, become a member of the congregation.
Yeah.
Not as a new convert, but ask to join by statement of faith or letter of transfer. And it says, we, the occult, can give the name of some churches that have either closed their doors or keep poor records to use as your last place of worship. New converts have no real standing in a church. However, if you say you've been a believer for over 5 years and have served in a leadership role in another ministry, most churches will be glad to have you and eager to get you serving in their congregation. This will open you up to begin to maneuver yourself into a position to implement the seven steps. The plan, or the other seven steps. So there's eight steps altogether.
Mm-hmm.
The plan, so this is step number one, and unfortunately I can see how it's easy for the plan to be put in place on this aspect, because how many times have you seen an ad in the paper for a church looking to hire someone to be on their worship team or part of their children's ministry?
Way too many times.
Yeah.
And it does more harm than good. I've witnessed this. People who have come in, or, well, they have leadership roles out somewhere else, maybe in the community, in another career. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but the church or the leaders think, well, because this person is in leadership over here, they would be good for leadership here.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case. I've seen that backfire more times than not. God will send the right person or people to fill a need if you seek and trust him and you're open to his guidance.
Yes.
So, you know, don't be afraid to put people through a spiritual background check, because it's the truth that doesn't mind being challenged. It's the lie that hates to be threatened.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
Let that be the compass.
Because the truth, actually, there's no questions to be answered.
Yeah.
When someone's walking in the truth, mm-hmm. you know that you know.
Right.
And in churches, especially small works, there's usually a handful of people that are doing most everything. And in some, just the pastor and his family. So when someone comes in and is eager to help,
mm-hmm.
it's usually very welcome, because it takes more than a couple people to operate in different aspects of ministry.
Right.
And I know our church, there's a certain amount of time that you must be a part of the church and be showing some spiritual growth and maturity. But unfortunately, I don't believe this is to be the norm for a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So because of all these different aspects of ministry and people not wanting to or not being called to fill the voids, some churches just put whoever sounds good there.
Right.
And we have to remember that Satan doesn't come in with horns and a pitchfork.
No.
So we have to be spiritually situationally aware.
Mm-hmm.
That's my new word.
Yeah.
So... But 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works.
Yeah.
So, we're not making it up. It's in the scripture.
Right.
And I'm not saying we don't trust anybody. However, I am saying you can't trust everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have some discernment. We have to get to a place of trust with people. And the only way to really trust people is to get to know them. And over the years, my ability to trust everyone is out the window. I don't know about you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have to get to know them, visit right. with them, see what makes them tick, mm-hmm. see if their words match their actions. And rely heavily upon the Holy Spirit. And have you met someone and you just feel like this thing inside and you're like, I don't know what it is, but something just isn't right.
Yes.
And when I get there, I take a step back and ask God, what is it? And eventually it is revealed, or God takes care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that feeling, and I call it a feeling back then because I didn't know that that was discernment.
Yeah.
But I've had that since I was a child and did not... There were certain people that I just didn't want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I would run the other way. I'd cry. And, you know, even to this day, I get this. It's an uneasy hair standing on my, you know, hair standing up kind of feeling. And it's, there's been times that I've listened to it and have been thankful. And I think as I've matured, I've learned to listen to it more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been times where, it's like, no, you're just making all, or I would go talk to a trusted quote unquote friend. Nah, this person's cool. You know, you're just making this up here. Have another drink. Oh, okay. You know, or do another line. No problem.
Yeah.
You know, but, you need to learn to listen to that discernment. And I think people have it more than they realize.
Yeah.
They just don't want to give it authority. Nobody wants to think bad about somebody.
Yeah.
Well, it's there for your protection.
Yeah, and I think in the church you get into it a lot because I don't want to be judgy.
Yeah, that's and that's another one.
Guys, I mean, we have to, there just sometimes you have that, I call it the feeling. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've been watching some stuff and they're like, man, if you have this gut feeling, then listen to your gut. And we call it a gut feeling, but I really think it's just God.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, through discernment, going,
Stranger danger, stranger danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not listening because we want to be welcoming. And you can be friendly to people, and you can be welcoming to people, and you can still go, I'm not opening myself all the way up here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, is being careful and really getting to know somebody, because you just don't know what, you just can't dive into it.
No, and I've, from experience, and I'm sure you've had this too, you've been sorry afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the ones who tend to not go anywhere.
Yeah.
They just keep calling, or, hey, how's it going?
But, yeah.
And there has been a few times over the years that people have been removed. Yes. From my life, and I just couldn't understand why, and it really sucks when their decisions, because of decisions, they walk off and cause that separation. But I've learned too over the years that sometimes God's the one that brought that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a little time because there was some people that I was really, really close to, and they're just gone, but God brought that for whatever reason. And it's not up to me to figure that out. I'm not going to stress myself out trying to figure out why people separate themselves from the body of Christ, but it's on them. And I can't take that personal.
No, and that's kind of hard because I've had that happen, you know, where friends with somebody, they're coming to church and then poof, off they go.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not take it personal. But, and I've stayed in communication sometimes with that person, and I just see that the life that they're living right now and the decisions that they've made. And it was like, you know, you and I'll be your friend, but I mean, we can't coexist. Not like that.
No, because there comes a point in time, and I think sometimes it's just that God, we come to this place of growth, and are we going to be stunted by someone who doesn't want to grow, or are we going to do what God wants us to do?
I would rather do what God wants me to do.
And so that took some time and learning too.
Yeah.
Because you get, I know it's Satan that's in your head going, well, you're just leaving these people behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I got to do what God wants me to do at the end of the day. And so if I leave somebody behind, that's on them. I didn't tell them to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to work out their own salvation.
Yeah.
So,
and you can't take the responsibility of someone else's salvation on your shoulders at all, ever. Never. Nope. It's not your salvation. It's yours can't be affected because of somebody else's choices.
Right.
Either. So, and then my dad, he likes the saying, you can't push a rope.
Mm-hmm.
And as cold as it is, I'm going to add a frozen one either.
Right.
But the first step is to become a member of the church, like we discussed. And we need to be accepting, but to finish the scripture, Matthew 7, verses 16-20 says, you shall know them by their fruits, and do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And we'll know people by their fruit. So with that, We have Galatians 5:22-26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the scripture lays out this fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And people can fake it. And that's where discernment comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you got people that are just, I don't know. I think just our lives are real, you and I both. And if we're having a bad day, people know we are.
Yeah.
And if we're having a good day, people know we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we're both pretty open with how our day's going.
Yeah, I can't be an actress if I tried.
No. But if I got somebody walking up to me with a freaking permagrin every day,
mm-hmm.
and everything's peachy, I really question this individual. Like,
okay, you know, what are you on?
Yeah. So, and I don't know. We talked about it a little bit last week, too. Just being real mm-hmm. with God and being real with ourselves and being real with the people around us.
Yeah.
I think you'll get a lot further that way. And
yeah, your circle may be small, but it'll be powerful.
Yes.
So
I would rather have a small, powerful circle than a big circle with nobody.
Army of associates that
don't care about nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I think about all the years, which I never really had a big circle to begin with, but it sure got a lot smaller as time went on. But
yeah,
I have to, this is where we got to, I'm not being selfish. I'm doing what the mm-hmm. word says. And so I get people that give me crap over a word usage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but that's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
So
it's like, don't yell at me, yell at my boss.
I mean, that's what the scripture says.
Yeah. So you can't get around that.
Yeah. But there are 8 steps in this plan. This is just number 1. And we will try to pick up the pace next week. But again, it will go as long as it needs to in order to stress the importance of being spiritually, situationally aware.
Right.
In order to, as God's soldiers and warriors, to always be aware, we must be in constant communication with Him. And with that communication with God, we won't be caught unaware.
Right.
Because God's not caught unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And He doesn't leave us out of the circle. We leave ourselves out of the circle by not having that communion with Him.
Yeah. He's there. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about being put on hold or you got to stand in line or make an appointment. So it's really on you.
Yeah.
Not on me.
So I don't know. The next couple, 2 or 3, it could be 8 weeks. Who knows?
It's however God leads.
It's how He leads. Yeah. But I really think it's important that we cover this right now because mm-hmm. we're coming into a time where the church has been under attack for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's just been just sliding along.
Well, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to go ahead and say this. We need to elevate ourselves. We're in an election year.
Uh-huh.
And I get sick and tired of hearing, well, liberal this, conservative that, Republican this, Democrat that. It goes deeper than that. It's simply good versus evil.
Yes.
And we need to rise above pointing fingers at these labels and see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Our fight is not against flesh and blood.
Yep. Back to that Ephesians.
Yeah.
With the armor. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but right. against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places.
Right.
And so if we haven't, over the last 2 or 3, I think the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's really become in your face
mm-hmm.
that it is not a political party against a political party.
No.
It is not person against person. It is absolute evil, good versus evil.
Right.
And we know the end.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want to get beat up on the way to the end?
No.
Because the scripture, I mean, it says that we're going to face tribulation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that we're beat to a bloody pulp.
Right. And you don't have to be.
We have the armor.
Right.
So, and the interesting thing about the armor, and then we'll go on for this evening, we'll be done this evening, is that there is no armor for the backside.
So you move forward.
Quit turning around and running away.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead on. God's going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. And he's given us all the tools that we need in order to succeed in him. So that's this week.
That's this week.
Hope you dig into it. We'll have the scriptures posted in the description.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the book, the title and the name of the book. Or the title is the name. The name and the author of the book posted in the description. If you want to take a look at it, George McVeigh, he's got 2 or 3, 4 books. He's actually really, it's really good stuff. So, but we'll have that.
Yep.
Hope you have a great week. Keep your mind in the Word, face in the Word.
Keep your communication with God open at all times.
Yep. Don't let the world get you down.
Yep.
And keep the faith.
Stay in grace.